Welcome to PCMC. I'm Mike Bongiorno. I'm joined today by the lovely Miss Jennifer Grace Luttrell.
Hi.
JGL, how are you? Dropping stuff?
Good. Yeah, sorry.
Throwing shit around? Oh, boy. Is this how you're going
to
start?
Off to a great start.
So, we're recording. This is our second car episode. We also did Baby Jane in a car.
Yeah, that was fitting.
Yes. This is not fitting. This is a Sunday afternoon. We're just a couple of middle-aged people sitting in a car talking about Judy Blume.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Yeah, how you do.
Yeah, you know how you do a Sunday afternoon. So, yeah, today's episode is about Miss Judy Blume.
Legend.
Legendary.
Icon.
Can I ask you, what's your history with Judy?
I went to a Catholic school, so the only book of hers that I remember reading was Tales of a Fourth Grade Nothing.
Mm-hmm.
So my experience has started, the past
2 months ago?
Or 2 months.
Okay.
Catching up on all the books that were not allowed in my grammar school.
So, yeah. So I guess me similar as well. I mean, I knew the name, right? Like, I never read anything by her. A couple years ago, I read a book called Paperback Crush, The Totally Radical History of 80s and 90s Teen Fiction.
Sure.
And she's talked about, of course, in that.
Yep.
And, like, I'm a fan of Rainbow Rowell, and I've read a lot of, like, John Green. So mm-hmm. just knowing YA, you know Judy Blume. But I really had no sense of, like, really what her stuff was. I think I had, for a long time, I confused Are You There, God? It's Me, Margaret, with the book Go Ask Alice.
Sure.
Which is much more dramatic.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, I guess we could say this started for us almost was the trailer for the...
For Are You There, God? It's Me, Margaret.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because we saw the trailer and it looked really delightful, really fun.
Yeah.
And I was like, that's not what I was thinking it was.
Yeah, same. I didn't know. I just knew it was a book about periods. I didn't really know more than that.
Yeah. I didn't even know that. I just knew it was a famous book from, like, the 70s.
Yeah. It's not really a book about periods, though.
It's no.
Thing.
It's funny that they think of it that way.
Yeah.
It's as much a book about being agnostic.
Right.
It actually, I think, is pretty complicated. More complicated than, like, people say that it is.
Right.
Although it's definitely, of all her books, it's the most, I guess, cherished.
Yeah.
She's written
it's
a lot.
It's very wholesome.
You know, there's that. There's Tiger Eyes. Mm-hmm. There's Deenie.
Mm-hmm. Forever.
Forever. Wifey.
Wifey.
Which was an adult novel.
Yeah.
Summer Sisters. Is that one?
I think so. I think my sister had that one.
Tales of Fourth Grade Nothing. Super mm-hmm. Fudge. Like the really young ones.
Right. Freckle Juice.
Freckle Juice. Yeah. So saw the trailer. Looked good. Mm-hmm. And then you and I were in a Barnes & Noble.
Yeah.
Support your local bookshops. And we saw like a really cool like pleather bound pink copy of Are You There, God? It's Me, Margaret, which is the newest version of the cover, which like says Are You There, God? It's Me, Margaret, but then underneath it looks like a text message.
Yeah, it has like the text bubbles.
Yeah, like God's writing back, which is for a lot of ways wrong. Because it takes place in the 70s.
Right.
And also, God doesn't talk back to her. You really get the wrong idea from that.
Right.
But it's interesting seeing like the different covers throughout the periods.
Yeah.
So at this point, I've read Margaret because we got it that day and we read it. And it was really, it's a quick, super quick
super
read.
Yeah, super easy.
And then I also read Forever, which is an older YA book that's about teenagers who fall in love and have sex.
Mm-hmm.
What have you read by Judy at this point?
Those two, and then Deenie and Blubber.
What is Deenie about?
Deenie's about that one again, like Margaret, how I always knew it as the period book.
Mm-hmm.
Deenie's like the book that people know as the masturbation book.
Right.
And that's also not, I mean, to call Margaret the period book is way more accurate than to call Deenie the masturbation book because maybe she mentions it twice. But really, it's about this girl who's very beautiful, and her mom is pushing her into modeling. And they find out that she has scoliosis, which, like, by the way, Dina doesn't really want to be a model.
Mm-hmm.
But she does it because her mom wants her to do it. And then by the end, she's like, I want to be a doctor and I want to work with kids with scoliosis. Like, I'm so glad. At first, she was, like, really resentful, but at the end, she was like, I'm kind of glad that this happened because it forced my mom to not put me into modeling.
That's pretty wholesome.
Yeah.
So it's not 200 pages of a girl furiously masturbating?
No. Because
that's what Pat Buchanan thinks it's about.
No. And even the, like, two lines, it's very, like, I'm stressed. This helps me relieve my stress.
Right. It's pretty, like, yeah. But that's the one thing that anyone talks about.
Right. And it's not, like, it doesn't get into details. Like.
Right.
Yeah. I don't know.
Well, that's the one thing that banners talk about. Right. Book banners, which is, like, something that has plagued her.
Right.
And she actually says, like, it got worse in the 80s. It wasn't bad in the beginning, but then it got worse in the 80s.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's getting bad again.
Yeah, it's getting real bad.
And she actually lives in Florida. She lives in Key West, Florida.
Yeah.
So she's in the heart of book banning world.
Yep.
She also owns her own bookstore in Key West, Florida, and people go and see her.
Yeah, it's like called like Books and Books and something.
Yeah. It's got a silly little name. Yeah. And she rides her little bike there every day.
Yeah.
I guess the other thing we should say is there's also, besides the Margaret movie, there's a documentary that just came out
called
Judy Blum Forever.
Yeah.
Which is about her life and her career, and it's pretty illuminating.
Yeah.
She kind of had like a, you know, she's what, 80-something? She's up there. So she like got married to her first husband in like the 60s, and they were a one-income house. The husband went out to work, and she like was a homemaker and raised kids or whatever.
Right.
And like she really didn't, like she loves her kids and has like a good relationship with her kids, but she wasn't happy doing just that. And she wanted to do more, and she started like writing, and then she got lots of rejections. And then, well, first she started writing like picture books, and that wasn't good for her. And she kept getting rejected. She would also try to illustrate them herself, which she's not a good artist.
Right.
And then she just started writing like young adult novels. I think the first one she had published is Iggy's House.
Yeah, I think so.
Which is a book that she now says, well, she doesn't say she doesn't wish she didn't write it, but it's, I believe it's an African-American character. And I think she says now she shouldn't have written it.
Right.
Like it should be written by someone who is African-American, not just a nice liberal white lady who's writing a book. But Iggy's House came out, and then I guess Margaret, I think, was her second.
I think Margaret was like her big.
That was the big, huge thing.
She also said that was the one she put her like whole heart into, because the others she was writing from the outside, and this one.
Yeah. Yeah. Right.
Was from her.
It's fucking kids. We're trying to talk about Judy Blume. Why being young adult about it? Yeah, I really loved Margaret.
Yeah, it's very sweet and true.
Did you feel it was true to your experience?
Yeah, pretty true.
Do young girls like want their periods? Like want to grow up that way?
Yeah, grow up. But I don't know. I mean, your period is the beginning of adulthood, in like a girl's eyes,
right?
Especially
right.
young girls' eyes.
Right.
But even like developing.
Yeah, it seems like in the book, they call it the period book, but it's as much as she wants her period, she also wants to grow boobs, if not more.
Right.
More than anything, she wants to grow boobs. And like when she talks to God, she'll be like, can I please grow boobs?
Yeah. Isn't it time?
Yeah, I got a new bra. It'd be nice to put something in it.
Yeah.
Did you remember being a kid and wishing you had boobs, you could grow boobs?
Not really. I don't know. I mean, kind of. Me and my friends would look at our Spice Girls poster and like pick out which size boobs we want, which isn't how that works.
But yeah. Which Spice Girl did you most want to be?
I wanted to be Emma, but I wanted like
which adjective is that? I don't
baby.
Know. Okay.
Baby Spice.
Yeah.
But I wanted more of like a Mel B kind of scary Spice.
Mm-hmm.
Big enough, but not too big. The others are too big.
Yeah.
It is what it is.
I could tell you as a young boy, I wish I didn't have massive tits.
Great.
I had these juicy jugs, and I was like, oh boy, I really, boy, I bet life would be a lot easier if I didn't have these jugs. But, you know, that's what being a little fat boy is about. Speaking of being a little fat boy, what's Blubber about?
Blubber is about bullying.
Mm-hmm.
This girl, it's like, it's really harsh. I was upset reading it.
Yeah.
It's about, the main girl is not the main bully.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody else is the main bully, which I guess is how they kind of, you can sympathize with her a little bit more. But the main person being picked on is just like a little overweight and does a report on whales.
Oh boy, you're asking for
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I know. Like, does not as do a, anything wrong.
As a fat
wrong.
Kid, I could tell you, you don't want to do anything having anything to do with fatness. Yeah.
And then, I mean, I guess spoiler alert, the bullying gets turned on the main girl. And the girl who was bullied, Blubber, becomes, which is the nickname they give her.
Wait, so Blubber isn't the main character?
Blubber is not the main character.
The main character is Blubber's bully.
Yeah, but not the main bully.
Okay.
She, like, at the end, she defends her because they, there's this mean guy, and they put eggs in his mailbox, and he found out about it. So they think that Blubber told on them, and the mean girl's like, oh, let's give her a trial. That's only fair. And then they realize that she doesn't have a lawyer, and the main bully is like, no, she doesn't deserve a lawyer. That's how this works. And because the main girl sticks up for Blubber and not having a lawyer, the bullying gets switched on her. Which I don't think it really, I mean, bully people do tend to become bullies, but I don't think it makes sense.
Okay.
Completely.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you would think if you stood up for me, wouldn't, I don't know.
I mean, I remember, and I've been both. In my young life, I was bullied, and then I bullied some other people.
Mm-hmm.
I remember standing up for a girl who was bullied tremendously and getting bullied for that.
By the girl?
No, not by the girl.
Yeah, that's what
by
I mean.
Everyone else.
But that's what I mean.
Like, no one was like, hey, you know what? You made us think differently. Everyone right. was like, oh, we're going to bully you now as well.
No, right. But, like, the girl
starts to bully her.
Really, what happens is that the girl becomes friends with the bully. Like, they team up.
Mm-hmm.
But it still doesn't entirely make sense to me.
Okay.
But, I mean, she writes with truth, so I'm sure it makes sense to someone.
Well.
Or it comes from somewhere.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Somebody makes the point in the documentary that Judy's work is not timeless, but that's what makes it timeless.
Right.
Because it's very much set in the times that it's made. I mean,
right.
like even like the expressions and the a certain naivety that
yeah.
I don't think kids have now.
Yeah, yeah.
But, you know, like something they do with a lot of YA books is they update them.
Right.
Like they'll update the dates and they'll update the covers. Right. And like they'll just try to take it and put it on a new generation of kids.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas I don't think you can do that with her books.
Right.
And so they ring true because they were true of when they were written.
Right. Right, yeah.
Of the ones you read, how would you rank them?
Margaret's really good. Margaret would probably be my top.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think Deanie.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if it's, I'm not basing them on, like, any kind of, like, how they were written. Really just how they made me feel.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's
all that matters.
And then, I guess Blubber and then Forever. I didn't love Forever. I get why we need it, but I didn't connect with them.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. Forever, I admire it.
Mm.
When I read Forever, there were a few times where I was like, whoa. And I was really taken back and impressed by how just frank it was.
Yeah, it was.
I mean, like, she goes, it's just a boy and girl meet. They start dating. They mm-hmm. they say that they're in love, but they're very young.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he wants to have sex and she she does eventually, and then like she goes and she gets what do you call it? Birth control. But she goes to Planned Parenthood.
Yeah.
And the book makes Planned Parenthood look really positive.
Yeah.
And you think, like, this book is written in, like, when was Forever written? The early 80s?
Oh, I don't know. I don't think so. Oh, maybe. It was before AIDS because she said she would have taken more precautions with them.
Right. Because their concern is only pregnancy. Yeah. And not, like, they talk about the clap. But they don't talk about, you know, anything like AIDS. Mm-hmm. Let me go to my Goodreads. When was it? Judy Forever by Judy Blume. I hate when it just gives you what the edition you have.
Yeah. Like it wasn't. Oh, published 1975.
Okay, 75. Wow. So then, wait, when is Margaret? Margaret's really old then. Or...
I thought it was the 60s. Yeah. 1970.
1970. Okay, wow. So 1975. So in 1975, this book has like kids fingering each other, kids being frank about sex.
Right.
A girl going to Planned Parenthood and Planned Parenthood being really like presented in a very positive light.
Right.
But you know what's funny? I always, when I read banned books, I try to figure out why they're banned. Mm-hmm. And I'm always wrong because I always go deeper than that. Like, I remember when I read Margaret, I was like, it's that she's questioning her faith and that she doesn't know what kind of faith she wants to be. I was like, mm-hmm. That's why it's probably banned. And then it's like, no, she's banned because she wants to buy a bra. Like, it's like banning is always the simplest, stupidest fucking shit. It's never anything deep. Because even if there is something that would be deeply offensive to somebody who's very conservative, they don't read it really.
Right.
They hear about it like secondhand, third hand. Oh, in this book, the girl buys a bra.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, well, then that's a bad book. We can't have that.
Right.
Meanwhile, it's like, if you actually look at the book, there's way more offensive things for you.
Right, right.
The fact that she like doesn't believe in God and her parents have this, you know, very hippie way of viewing religion.
Yeah, her dad is Jewish and her mom is not Catholic, but Christian.
Yeah, but they say they're nothing.
Right, they say they're nothing.
And that when she gets older, she can choose what she wants.
Right.
Yeah, I think that's the complicated thing about the book, which is belief in God and growing boobs are not... They're only alike in fitting in.
Mm-hmm.
Like she moves in the beginning of the book, she moves from New York to New Jersey and she's like a city kid and she wants to fit in. You know, what the girl Nancy Wheeler, who's like the bitchy girl. Although she's not bitchy, she's like the alpha.
She's bossy.
She's the alpha of their little gang. She's like, well, you have to join the JCC or the YMCA, you have to join one. Okay. And so, like, she's like, given a choice, like she can't, she, you know, you have to be one or the other. So she like, she wants to be normal because she's 11.
Yeah.
She wants so much to just be normal and fit in. So she wants, you know, boobs. She's afraid to be the last of her friends to get her period. She wants a religion so she can have one.
Mm-hmm.
It's really an interesting way of looking at like, faith.
Right.
Because she believes in God. Like she's always God.
Right. God is like her best friend instead of like the Almighty.
Right, right, right. And she'll just like talk to God everywhere.
She talks to God like she's writing in a diary.
Yeah. 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 And
like at night. She says that she never feels closer to him than when she does when they're just alone.
Yeah, she goes.
Like she can't find him in church, and she can't find him in all the places that people gather to find God.
Yeah.
That's not where her relationship with him is.
And at one point, she gets angry and she's like, I don't even believe in God. Yeah. But she still does, but she's not praying anymore. She's like, I'm not talking to him right now.
Yeah.
Because she's mad at him. It's really interesting. Like, she has this teacher who's his first year teaching, so everyone kind of abuses him. And he's like, again, it's 1970, so like he seems like a young, he says he's 23.
Crazy.
Like he's like a young, idealistic teacher, and he makes them do a project that he doesn't grade, but they have to work on it all year. And hers is to figure out her religion. Mm-hmm. So she goes to a temple with her grandmother, who desperately wants her to be Jewish.
Right.
And she goes to like the different churches with different people and stuff like that. And in the end, she really doesn't make a decision. She just kind of comes back to where she was of like, I just believe in God.
Right, right.
Which again, I thought would be like, oh, this must be really offensive to Christians.
Yeah, it's
like,
no, that's not the thing.
No, it's that a young girl wants a bra.
Yeah.
How could you want a bra? But you know, like it was a, you got to think about like the time, like in the Judy Blume documentary, they show like educational films of like little girls being like, oh, I've got the curse.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, they never curse. They never say what it is.
Right. They never say what it is. And just the idea of like, it's a curse.
They don't even say menstruation.
Yeah. It's a horrible thing that happens to you and you're cursed to have it.
Feeling unwell.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. Feeling unwell. Yeah. It's very, and in the book, there's a day where in school, her and all the girls in the class have to go to the auditorium to watch a movie, and it's that kind of movie. Mm. And the woman in the movie keeps saying menstruation, like struation.
Yeah. But it makes it really positive and something, you know, to look forward to instead of feeling like it's a curse and all, you know, all the bad things that come with it. The positive thing into light.
It also just normalizes it.
Right.
Which is a crazy thing to say about something that happens to half the population of the world. Mm-hmm. Or more than half the population of the world. But it's like, even now, like, it's amazing how little people know. Like, you've watched the comedian Hannah Berner, right? She says a lot of stuff on YouTube and TikTok. She'll like be outside asking comedians like questions about females. She does a lot of crowd work. She's very funny, and she'll ask like a bunch of guys like, where's the clitoris, or how many holes are in the vagina? And like, for a world that's saturated with pornography, it's amazing how actually little straight men know about these body parts that they're so interested in. And you know, periods being one part of that. It kind of normalizes it. I mean, what if you had read this when you were 12? How do you think it would have hit you?
I think I would have felt better. My family wasn't big talkers of periods or sex. I remember one time my aunt like tried to sit me down, and I was in Girl Scouts at the time, and I was like, I already have them. She was like, you could not imagine the relief on her face. She was like, great.
Great.
No one ever said a word except, I already got the information from Girl Scouts.
So you got it from Girl Scouts?
Yeah.
From other girls or from like the Girl Scout leader?
I think from the teacher.
All right. So she taught you about it.
Yeah.
Was it in a scenario of like, look, guys, when we go camping, bears might come after us?
Well, I didn't go to camping.
Oh, okay.
I was not going camping.
Do women... Yeah. Here, now I'm going to slide into actually asking. Do women really, do they sync up or is that a myth?
I think it's a myth, but I've also heard that, if women do sync up, it's more to do with like, I've heard a video where it's like more scientific than like smelling each other's hormones, and it's more like,
that
your body reacts to like the moon phase, which sounds kind of out there, but but I don't think that's true.
I mean, you have female friends, like does eventually every friend that's a girl have the same cycle? You know what I mean? Like
that. Well, it depends on if they even talk about it is the other thing.
They don't talk about
it? Not everybody is like super.
Really?
Well, one of my friends just like doesn't get hers regularly. And then I've never heard the other one mention anything ever. Really? Ever.
It's funny, when I was a kid, and I started masturbating very young, and it has nothing to do with your libido. It has to do with, it's always a mistake the first time, so it just happens to do with when the mistake happened. So I was like five or six when like, I think I like pulled my blanket up and rubbed myself the wrong way, and I was like, ooh, what's that? That's interesting. But every boy thinks it's like, I'm the only person who does it, and there's something wrong with me. Until like one day, some other kid will say it, and then you all talk about it all the time. So it's interesting. Boys are open about it. Like little boys like, I jerked off. I'm going to jerk off so hard later. At least when I was a kid. Maybe now they're more sophisticated. But when I was a kid, it was like, jerking off was like totally a thing you talked about doing.
Yeah. I think it depends on the girl. I think it depends on, like, the setting. Because when I was in grammar school, I had a bunch of girlfriends. And we rarely talked about it, but we were very young.
Mm-hmm.
We were, you know, middle school age. But we were in a co-ed school.
Mm-hmm.
But then when I got to high school, I was in an all-girls school. And, like, nobody batted an eye.
Right, right.
So.
Interesting. So, like, it's like, yeah, we're in front of guys.
Right.
Okay. Interesting. Interesting.
But, I mean, I mean, now as adults, it doesn't really matter. But I still have, like I said, a friend that I couldn't tell you.
Really? Now, you loved the animated Pixar film Turning Red.
I did.
Do you see a Judy Blume influence on that film?
Yeah. I mean, I think any... I mean, no. I don't know how to say this. Yeah, I do.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's very, like... It's very empowering of young women.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And not shying away from topics that are usually shied away from. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, in the documentary, they do a lot of interviews with people that say they were influenced by her.
Mm-hmm.
And one is Lena Dunham,
mm-hmm,
which I think makes sense.
Right.
And the other one that makes a lot of sense is Anna from Pen 15.
Yeah.
Because the minute I saw her, I was like, oh, yeah, of course. Pen 15 is totally, it's more funny, but it's totally Judy Blume-ish.
Yeah, yeah.
Because that's all that show is. It's just two young girls who are, like, growing up and, like,
yeah,
you know.
I feel like, how can it not be? You know, if she was the first to really open it up at a time when it wasn't, you weren't supposed to talk about things.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, how can it not be? Even if the people that made Turning Red, which I'm sure they had, but even if they hadn't read anything by Judy Blume, just like culturally,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
how could you not be influenced?
Right. Because she's like the first person to come along and, like,
say it.
Yeah.
Say at whatever
this
is.
This happens. Yeah.
Even Forever was a book that she wrote because she was tired of, her daughter was tired of reading books about two teenagers that have sex and then the girl dies or, you know, something tragic happens. And it's like, well, that doesn't happen all the time.
Right.
Can I just have a normal book?
It probably happens very little.
Right.
Sex leading to death is not necessarily a foregone thing. But it's because, like, it's that moralizing.
Right,
you
right.
had sex, so now you're going to die.
Right.
Right. Like, I guess my criticism of Forever is that it was almost procedural. It felt so realistic.
Right.
That it almost felt like an after school, like, special. Like, it was just like, here's beat for beat how it can go. But again, I'm a grown-ass man. Maybe if I were a girl or a boy who was, like, thinking about, do I have sex? When do I have sex?
Right.
You know, reading it would be revelatory.
Right, right, right.
You do have to think about, like, the context of all this stuff. Isn't it amazing, though, that, like, if you look at, like, any list of banned books, it's always the best things.
Mm.
It's always like, oh, what's banned? Like, oh, The Wizard of Oz.
Right.
Like, shit, like, it's like anything good.
Right.
Is like, oh, it's banned. So it's like, but then Judy Blume says, like, that's how you get your kids to read it. Like, don't tell your kids, like, oh, this is good, you'll like it. Tell them, oh, I don't think you should read it.
Right.
And then they'll be dying to read.
Yeah.
What do you think of her, like, writing style?
I like it. I'm not the target audience.
Right, right, right.
Super easy to digest, I know. Which I guess is the point.
Right, right. Well, for us it is, right? Like, maybe it would take a younger person longer.
Right.
But we, like, fart it out in a day.
Yeah, yeah.
After reading Forever, I realized, like, what I think her talent is that, like, she doesn't talk down to young readers.
No.
But for older readers, there's obvious information that's between the lines.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, an older reader will feel ahead of the characters in a sort mm-hmm. of knowing way.
Right.
But it doesn't feel condescending. Like, the girl Nancy, right? In Are You the God? It's Me, Margaret. Nancy goes on vacation and she comes home and she's like, oh, I got my period. And Margaret's, like, devastated. Oh, my God. Gretchen has hers, and there's four girls. Gretchen has hers, and Nancy has hers now. It's just me and Jean left.
Yeah.
And what if I'm the last one? Oh, my God.
That's going to be tragic.
Right. But, like, we know, right, from the get-go, she's probably lying.
Right.
But Margaret doesn't know.
Right.
But somehow, And I don't, maybe I don't have the wherewithal to articulate this correctly. Somehow it's still enjoyable. Like you see the world through Margaret's eyes.
Right.
Because she's the first person writing it or narrating it.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, there's something cute because you know what she doesn't know.
Yeah.
But it doesn't make you feel like bored by it, if that makes sense.
Right. Well, I think you can feel her emotions when she's feeling it.
Right.
Which
right,
I think
right.
takes you on the journey right, with her. Even right. if you know it, you're still upset with her when she finds out.
Right.
And mad with her.
Right. But you know it, like when she goes, like they go out.
You're not surprised.
Right.
But you empathize with her.
And she's totally surprised.
Yeah.
Or the, I think the other instance like that is there's the girl in their class. Oh, what's her name?
Oh, yeah.
They all pick on her.
Because she has boobs.
Yeah, her name is Laura Danker. Laura Danker's tall and she has boobs and she's the only girl in the class with boobs. And she's not part of the friend group.
Mm-hmm.
And Nancy's like, oh, she goes behind the A&P and lets boys touch her boobs.
Yeah.
And like starts all sorts of crazy rumors and like says crazy shit like, oh, everyone looks at her. Even the teacher's looking at her.
Yeah.
Which is bananas.
Because
there's even a part where Margaret goes, I never see the teacher looking at him, but Nancy says he does.
Right.
And she believes Nancy. You know, at the end, like, she has a project with Laura,
mm-hmm.
and Laura's just like, you know, I see what you and your friends say about me. Everyone right. makes fun of me. You think I want to be the biggest kid in class. People tell all sorts of lies about me. I've never done anything, blah, blah, blah. And it's like, we, the audience, okay, this girl, these things that are being said about this girl isn't true. But that does happen.
Right. No, yeah, of course.
And it shows the weird double-edged sword, right? Because these four characters are dying to grow breasts. But the one among them that does have breasts, they completely slut shame.
Yeah, yeah.
And say she's, like, promiscuous because she has breasts.
Right. But she is, like, doesn't. She doesn't do anything.
Right.
And she feels really isolated.
She's just tall.
Yeah.
And has breasts.
Right.
But I remember that. I remember, like, being a kid and, like, just one year in September, you came to class and like one girl or two girls has boobs.
Yeah.
And it's the talk of the town.
Right.
I mean, it is. It's like, do you see What's-Her-Face has boobs now? It's
yeah.
crazy. And the boys don't really get that. Like, maybe you'll grow like a sad little mustache. but like, it's not like you can really like see a guy's
yeah.
like penis growing to grown-ups.
Yeah.
Which one day I hope mine does. And you don't really see like, you know, a boy's like underarms or whatever. Like it's just
right.
it's very obvious when you're a girl if now you have boobs.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And yeah, it's slut shaming, I think, is like part of what is one of the topics in the book. It's dense. There's a lot going on in there.
Right. Yeah.
But she's so light on her feet the way she writes.
Yeah.
Which I think is always good, especially for YA.
Right.
Like, it's all very, like, it's not very flowery. It's right. not very filled with metaphor. Or,
mm-hmm.
You know, it's very straightforward.
Right.
She's very good at explaining things.
Mm-hmm.
I always think about, like, I rarely ever write fiction.
Huh.
But I always think, like, the reason I don't think I'd be good at writing fiction is I don't know anything. Like, you can't write a book and say things like, she went around the back of the house and she tripped over that thing. You know that thing that's near the fence? It's kind of concrete. And you got to know what the word is.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? You've got to know things. I'd be terrible at explaining settings
because
I'd be like, you know the thing with the thing. It was a bluish car. It kind of looked like this. But she's just very good. You really get a sense of every like the settings and
right.
She gets, you know, she dives right in. I mean, the first couple pages is like immediately like, are you there? God, it's me, Margaret.
Yeah.
I'm moving today.
Yeah, yeah.
I saw my mother. It's a hot day because I saw my mother smelling her armpits. My armpits don't smell. I guess you don't start to smell until you're 12.
Right, right. Yeah.
It's just like boom, 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 boom.
Yeah. Well, kids don't have time for a subtle setup.
No, just fucking get to it.
Yeah.
Get to it.
You lose them.
Right, right. And it is interesting, I think, that she kind of is all over the map in the types of books she writes.
Because,
mm-hmm. like, it feels, I mean, typically, like, if you're a YA writer, you kind of do one thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she'll do, like, different grades. Like Super Fudge, which I've never read.
Right.
But like, I remember it as a show, which she hates. She said she hated the Super Fudge show. And I think Super Fudge is based on her son.
Yeah. Wasn't his first appearance in Tales of Fourth Grade Nothing?
I don't know. I never read that.
I think so.
Interesting. So we saw the movie. What did you think of the movie, Are You There, God, It's Me, Margaret?
Oh, it was perfect. It was very, very sweet. It hit all the points of the book. Yeah, I liked it a lot.
Yeah.
What did you think?
I really, really loved it. And it got good reviews, but we live in this weird time now where, like, it didn't have a very big release. The fact that it went to theaters at all, I think, is amazing. I mean, I think the reason it got made the correct way, which it was set in the 70s and was released theatrically, is because it was produced by James L. Brooks, who, like, you know, has produced and directed a lot of good movies and has some clout. Like, it could have easily been, like, bad. Although people for years had wanted to make a Margaret movie, it wasn't until the director of the movie, who also directed The Edge of 17, which is a good sort of YA kind of movie, Kelly Freeman Craig wrote her a letter and was like, here's what I would do with it and how I would update it and make it into a movie. And she really liked it. And she said, like, I'm the only author who will tell you the movie's better than the book. And I think it is, because the thing that the book, I talked to this before when I talked about it with Anthony, like, the movie adds a lot more with the mother's character.
Yeah. Well, the book is very much a product of its time.
Right, right.
Mothers didn't, I mean, do too much.
Right.
It wasn't much to write on.
Right. But it's interesting because it still rings very true, because it seems like the mother character is based on Judy at the time when she was, like, a housewife. Because we know from the book that the mother's a painter and an artist. And that's about it.
Right.
Whereas in the movie, like, that's more than just, like, a little thing about her. Like, that's who she is. That's her life. She cares about creating things. She doesn't fit in with the PTA and all those other women who wanted to do things. Like, she has her own story arc. Like, in the movie, like, you know, like, she joins all these little clubs at school just to sort of try to fit in.
Right.
Because her and Margaret are both trying to fit into this new environment. And her sort of arc ends when, like, the head of the PTA says something like, oh, can you, I forget what it is, but it's like, can you cook 100 cupcakes or something like that? And she's like, no.
The stars, I think.
No. Yeah, yeah, something like that.
She, like, cuts a bunch of stars and then they're like, oh,
yeah,
this woman couldn't do it. Can you redo hers? And it's like, no.
Yeah. Please. She says no. She's like, no, I don't want to do that.
Yeah.
Which is amazing for, you know, it's such a good improvement. Like,
yeah.
When you do make an when you make changes to a story to lengthen it to a film, the thing you want to achieve is, like, have it feel like it would fit. Like, the worst example is probably, like, the Tim Burton Willy Wonka, where he, like, shows Willy Wonka's dad as a dentist, and it's just chuck full of bullshit, and it's like, none of this fits or feels right. Like, this feels right. It doesn't feel like it's not the mother from the book. It just feels like you're getting more of her.
Right. Yeah.
And then you have the dad is played by Benny Safdie of the Safdie brothers, which is amazing.
Yeah.
Because, like, they wrote and directed, like, Uncut Gems, Uncut Jams, and Good Time. And then, like, he goes and he plays the dad.
Yeah.
The super suburban dad.
Yeah.
But he's interesting too. Like, he was also in Obi-Wan as a Jedi. And it's like, but, you know, and then the girl in the movie is really good. Abby Ryder Forston.
Oh, she was great.
She was perfect, right?
Yeah, she was the perfect Margaret.
Yeah. She was cute. She had the pluckiness of Margaret.
Yeah.
She was believable, you know, in everything she does. She was really a really good Margaret.
Yeah.
You know, and I think if she had not been good, the movie would not have been good.
Right.
And she got the humor of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think, you know what? I think Forever doesn't have any humor, really.
Yeah.
How is there humor in Blubber or Dini?
There is some in Dini. Blubber, kind of, not really, I don't think.
Okay. Because I feel like the humor is the elevating thing in Margaret.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the movie leans into that.
Right.
I mean, it doesn't turn it into a parody, but
right.
It plays for laughs. It shows the comedy of a little.
Yeah, right.
I want to go to Florida and meet Judy.
I know, me too. I think she doesn't sign books anymore, but she's still there.
I think you have to, like, I think she got sick of just every single day at work, people making her sign things. So I think you have to, like,
request it.
Yeah, like, do, like, a request beforehand, and then she does them at home and brings them back or whatever. But I don't know. I bet, like, if you were like, oh, I'm from out of town, I'm here for one day, she doesn't seem like a dick.
Yeah.
But maybe she'd be like, listen, I'm not the Judy Blume you think I am.
Well, you could probably email her before the trip and say, hey.
Yeah.
This is the day I'm planning to come.
Yeah.
Get to sign it.
Yeah. Yeah. And she has a little, like, banned book section.
Yeah.
I mean, she's living the sweet life. Who wouldn't want a little bookshop?
What did she have? Oh, How to Cook with Weed or something?
Yeah. She was like, this section is very popular.
She's cute.
Oh, I guess we haven't talked about, like, the other kind of revelation from the documentary, which is she would write back to a lot of the kids who wrote her.
Yeah, like a ton of the kids.
And had, like, sometimes years-long correspondence with her fans.
Yeah.
And she said, like, I didn't write back to every kid, but I always wrote back to kids that I thought needed me to write back to them. Like, you know, the documentary shows, like, one kid who's like, I don't know, like, my parents won't talk about this. And
yeah.
Or, like, they'll just confide in her.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
She's like, she's like cool mom to the world.
Yeah.
Like, that one girl's like, can you please give me a list of sex books to read? Because I like to read them. And then she would write back to them and, like, over, like, years, like, have correspondence with Judy Blume. Like, that's crazy.
Yeah.
That's totally nuts.
Yeah.
But also, like, the most beautiful thing I've ever heard.
No, it's amazing.
Like, that she, like, would take the time and, like,
mm-hmm.
write that way.
Mm-hmm.
In Forever, there's, like, when the girl goes to camp, they're, like, split up in the summer,
mm-hmm.
and she goes to work at a camp, and her boyfriend goes to, like, teach skiing somewhere. Yeah. For a couple chapters, it becomes like you see letters and stuff.
Right.
Which is a sort of like, that's really an art that's kind of gone.
Right.
Cause we just text each other.
Yeah. Yeah. Emails me.
Yeah. But even emails, I say we make up a fake child and write to Judy as a child.
Aw, come on. That's not nice.
And just get her to, I mean, if she still does it, who knows?
Probably not, but I don't know.
I mean, she's like, she's gone.
She might still read them all, but.
Yeah. She's probably, like, she says, like, at the height of her fame, like, she was getting thousands, but probably very little now.
Yeah.
Or, like, less now.
Right.
She's like, a legend, but she's in that, like, status of, like, oh, she's alive still?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Like, you're surprised to find out that Judy Blume's still alive and kicking.
Yeah.
Because, like, when was the last time she.
Still riding her bike.
Yeah, still, like. With her second husband, who seems like a real mensch. He owns a movie theater in town.
Love that.
I don't know, what was the last book she wrote? Blume. 85 years old.
Mm-hmm.
The original cover of Forever is like a locket with like a girl's picture in it. YA is fun.
That's cute.
Judy Blume Wikipedia works. Her last book was an adult book from 2015 called In the Unlikely Event.
What's it about?
It follows a 15-year-old Miri Ammerman and her family and friends as they cope with three plane crashes from December 1951 to February 1952 in their home of Elizabeth, New Jersey.
Oh.
This was Blume's first adult book in 17 years and one of only four adult books she has written in her career. Oh, I think I remember her talking about this. This is like, it's about when she was a kid.
Oh.
What's Tiger Eyes about? A young adult novel written by Judy Blume in 1981. Again, about a 50-year-old girl attempting to cope with an unexpected death of her father.
Well, her father died sort of unexpectedly.
Right, when she was young.
Yeah, and he was like her world.
Yeah. Well, she describes her mother as like not being very open and warm.
Right.
Like, and her father like gave them baths and like cut their toenails.
Right.
And, like, her father was like...
The caretaker.
The nurturer.
Right, the nurturer.
Isn't that always interesting? Like, Walt Disney's dad, like, fucking made him, like, work a job when he was, like, 12 and wouldn't allow him to own toys.
Yeah.
So then he becomes Walt Disney.
Yeah.
Like, it's an interesting thing, like...
You heal your inner child.
Yeah. And then that ends up being, like, what makes you... Like,
your
same thing
empire.
With, like, Maurice Sendak. I think Maurice Sendak's parents were, like... His siblings were way older than him because I think he was, like, an accident. And he says his family... parents were not very warm to him.
Yeah.
So are you going to, are you sort of, is your Judy Blume kick sort of over? Are you?
Yeah, I think I'm good.
You know more?
Yeah. No, I'm good. I very much enjoyed them. I just, I'll go back.
Mm-hmm.
There's something I want to read immediately. Although Tiger Eyes sounds really good. The other problem is that I've been trying to get them from the library online. And it forever wasn't there. But it's like months and months and months of a wait.
Yeah, yeah. So, was Margaret in the library? I don't think that was it either.
I don't remember.
But is it because they're popular?
Or what? I don't know if they
don't ban books in New York, do they? We don't do
no.
that.
No. But I don't know if they just don't have enough copies. I'm not exactly sure how publishing deals with the library works.
It's a lot of bullshit because they make it, they pretend that digital files are tangible media.
Right.
Like they'll be like, there's three copies left, and then you borrow it, quote unquote, and read it, and then that
return
copy's
it.
Not. Yeah, exactly. But it's like, no, it's a digital copy. You can
or
make.
Or if there's, yeah, like what I'm. What I'm doing now is that there's six copies and they're all borrowed. So it tells you how many people are online.
And it's like
you're the sixth person online, but that means each person gets 2 weeks.
Right.
It's just a very.
And you could also renew it.
Right. And you can renew it.
Right. But it's also like, why are we doing this?
I know,
it's digital.
It's
you
endless.
Could clone it.
I know.
Like, how about you just give
right.
people the books? Like, why do I have to like give it back?
Right.
It's sort of stupid.
So, yeah, I don't know. But, I mean, it takes a long time. So, I did put Tiger Eyes on my list, but it's not coming anytime soon. So, but, I mean, either way, I'm ready for just, you know, something different.
Yeah. Yeah. You get into a place where, like, you read, like, a bunch. And
yeah.
Well, Jen, thank you so much for being here.
No problem.
The audience loves you. They love to hear you. They love a good Jen episode.
Thanks.
We end every episode by saying,
go bye-bye.
Are you there, God?
It's me, animal.
Go bye-bye.
Go bye.